This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into the Scoop Podcast, part of the Inside Carolina Network. I'm your host, Ross Martin, joined by Don Callahan. The Scoop is brought to you by Blue Shark Vodka and Johnny T-Shirt. Welcome into The Scoop, presented to you by Johnny T-Shirt and Blue Shark Vodka, the smoothest vodka in the world. It's part of the Inside Carolina Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ross Martin, joined by Don Callahan. What's going on, Don?
Not too much. Just got a fresh haircut for this podcast specifically. It looks like you got a haircut also. Is that right?
Yeah, I got a haircut on Monday, bye week, kind of bye week haircut. So we're good to go there. It's a good reminder for people to watch on YouTube and subscribe to YouTube. And of course, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast where we get your podcast network. We're going to talk UNC football recruiting. Anything else going on, Dines? There's not a lot of news since we did the emergency podcast last week after five-star offensive tackle Zach Rice committed to UNC. So the docket isn't as packed. We're going to try to have some fun and get into a couple topics of note. What else? What's going on in your life?
Well, couple things. One, the haircut. I don't know if you could see this, but the lady butchered my neck. Can you see it?
Yeah, it looks a little red.
Yeah, it's awful. It burns.
High and tight. You're about to enter the military.
Well, I don't know what she had on that razor, but she cut my neck up a bunch. That, and I'm super psyched. A couple of months ago, I mentioned the fact that I had a minor leak in my one bathroom, which has ruined my life, but we finally got the flooring in today. We're going to get some drywall done tomorrow and the next day painting. Jeez. And then hopefully we'll have it all, my bathroom, back for the weekend. Anything going on in Ross's life?
I'm headed
You went somewhere, right?
I was in the mountains last weekend, or last week a little bit, and then I had a wedding last weekend. Shout out Jack Richmond, big UNC fan. I don't think he listens though, but he got married. And I'm going Notre Dame. Going Notre Dame on Friday. Okay.
So what? Because I know typically you're not going to games. Is this as a fan or how's this working out?
It's covering the game. I got the credential and first game I've covered in person, I think since COVID, basketball or football. And you know, this is a game I had circled. I mean, you know, how many times you get a chance to go up to Notre Dame and watch the Tar Heels? So I really I'm appreciative for Ben and Buck to provide me with this opportunity. Greg will be up there too. I think Jim and I think Taylor Vipolis. I think we're sending four people up there to Notre Dame. Kind of, you know, it's kind of like a treat. You know, it's just the, you know, the holy place for football, and it's kind of a bucket list. Not a true bucket list, but definitely a town and a stadium I want to see. So, already lined up some, you know, hanging out in Chicago a little bit, lined up some meets with some UNC fans in South Bend and Chicago. So hit us up on Twitter and we might stop by a tailgate. We'll have all day in South Bend on Saturday because it's a 7:30 kick.
Yeah. Notre Dame is definitely on my bucket list. Everyone I've ever talked to who's been there has always talked about just, you kind of feel it as soon as you step on campus. So you know, as just purely a college football fan, I'd love to visit. I have a lot of family who are huge Notre Dame fans. So
yeah. Are you Catholic?
I was raised Irish. Well, I'm Irish and I was raised Catholic.
So, Donald O'Callaghan.
Well, supposedly my last name, when my ancestors came over, it was O'Callaghan with a G. Somewhere along the lines, like, we lost the O and the G, and it's just Callahan. But
yeah, and we can't talk much more about religion or we're going to get canceled.
That's right.
So that concludes the religious portion of this podcast.
Yes.
Are you Catholic? Yes or no? It is funny how a lot of people in the North, Pennsylvania, New York, Boston, Massachusetts, they grow up Notre Dame fans, which is in Indiana. just because of the Catholic connection, the Irish Catholic connection. Yeah. So, and it's falling in a cool month. I mean, a cool time of the year. It's going to be pretty cold, but maybe not too cold. So you kind of get that full football experience. So, I mean, hopefully Tar Heels get up there and can play well and be a close game in the fourth quarter and see what happens.
Yep. I'm excited for that game. I'm excited for another college football Saturday, to be honest.
There you go. Thrilling take by Don there. All right, so let's get into what we're going to talk about. A little bit looser, fun podcast, which I think a lot of people appreciate.
A little loose. We're going to roll up the sleeves.
Yeah, not a lot of news. So we're going to get into Zach Rice a little bit after kind of the, you know, week later for the Zach Rice commitment. Just a massive commitment. We were, you know, when you record these emergency podcasts, you're definitely rushed and you definitely miss some things. And Don, yeah. I'm not sure Don had talked to everybody he needed to talk to. But Don had a week to kind of get some intel. And so we'll touch on Zach Rice. We'll get into Andre Green, which kind of now remains the biggest recruit out there. It doesn't seem like there's much movement with Jake Pope and UNC. There's some other guys out there, but with Andre Green's a guy we've been covering for months, if not years now, wide receiver out of St. Richmond School in Virginia. And then we'll get to some team talk. So we'll look at the Tar Heels entering the Notre Dame game, three players into the transfer portal. So we'll get to that. Because Mack Brown has spoken a lot this week about the transfer portal and how it changes roster management, how it affects recruiting. And you have Don O'Callaghan, who covers recruiting, and you have Ross Martin, who covers the
Ross
team.
Ross O. Martin.
And
what right, is and what you, is your ancestry?
American.
Before your ancestors made it to America, we're. What was in your blood?
Scott Irish and English.
Okay. Okay.
But we were one of the first, both sides, one of the first families here.
Okay.
1600s. While your family was dying of the potato famine in Ireland. Yeah. My family was thriving in America. First family in Tennessee. My dad's family was the first family to settle in Tennessee. One of the first families to settle in Tennessee.
It's interesting. Okay.
The fertile Tennessee Valley, Don.
Your
family came over to Pennsylvania with just blue collar in it in Philadelphia fighting for freedom.
Yeah. That's right.
All right. Thanks for those who stayed on through that part. We are going
I found
to,
it interesting.
Yeah. Let's get into Zach Rice. If you haven't, go back and listen to the Zach Rice Emergency Commitment Podcast. We recorded that. I was in the mountains at my buddy Jeff's house, and Don had come back from picking up his son from Subway.
Don he works there.
Don's a sandwich artist. To check out the local what's the city you live in?
Holly Springs. Go to Holly Springs Subway. It's the Subway in the Holly Springs Walmart. You can't miss him. He's the one who, if you go in there and there's no one at the front counter, he's the one sleeping in the back.
And what's the special? What's the Don special at Subway?
I'm a spicy Italian guy. I like spicy Italian and loaded up with the banana peppers, and it's great. I can have him do, I mean, obviously you're going to Subway, you can get it exactly the way you want it, but you know, you can get it really exactly the way you want it when your kid's back there, you know. So he loaded me
up. What do
you
get? All right, let's go through it. What do you get on it?
Well, spicy Italian, pepper jack cheese. So I usually do not get it toasted. Sometimes maybe if I'm feeling a little frisky that day, but typically not toast it. Yeah, I do the typical. What's that?
Do you not hear me? What bread?
Oh, wheat. Yeah, you kind of went out there for a second. Okay. Wheat bread, trying to say somewhat healthy.
Yeah. That meat's been sitting out for weeks.
I know. Well, especially when my dad was like, doesn't he have to use the slicer? I'm like, no, all that stuff comes off a truck already sliced.
Jersey Mike's former Inside Carolina podcast sponsor.
They actually slice it there.
Yeah, that's their whole thing, slicing fresh. Okay. We are Jersey Mike's podcast because we want them to sponsor us at some point again.
Okay, but yeah, and I mean typical stuff. I mean, I do lettuce, black olives, a big black olive guy, tomato, onions, mayo. I still do the oil and vinegar, salt and pepper, the oregano. Yeah. I mean,
any other sauces?
No, I mean, that's my typical order, but yeah, I mean, if I'm feeling, you know, a little, you know, then maybe I might mix it up a little bit.
Okay. Nice.
What about you?
Yeah, I knew you were black. I knew you were black olive guy the moment I set eyes on you. All right, I go Italian herbs and cheese bread, spicy Italian. I go spicy Italian too. Usually.
Okay.
Provolone cheese, I think, melted, and I go every vegetable possible except for pickles. I like pickles. I don't like them on sandwiches as much.
I agree. I like pickles, but they're very strong flavor.
They're so wet. They are too wet for the bread and moistens up the whole sandwiches. Why are you laughing? So I go lettuce, tomato, a lot of red onions, a lot of banana peppers. I'll go extra banana peppers, jalapenos, black olives. Then I'll go oil and vinegar. I'll go a honey mustard. Big sauce guy, as you know. So I'll go like spicy or the Italian sauce. I think it's like an onion sauce.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll go Chipotle on there. I'll get a side of Chipotle. And then the key, you got to go 3 cookies at the end. Subway makes the best cookies.
Oh, yeah. Well, no.
White chip macadamia.
It all depends on the Subway, on how good the cookies are. A well-made Subway cookie is spot on. But you can go somewhere. You want to talk about sitting out for a couple of days. Some of those cookies have been sitting out for a couple of days. So you got to trust your Subway.
And if you know the deal, you can ask them to microwave the cookies for like 10, 15 seconds and they're warm.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Good advice.
Yeah. Subway. That's your Subway portion of the podcast. Thanks for those who stayed on through that part. All right, Zach Rice, let's get into it. We're going to get some of the complaints on the message board. All right, Zach Rice. So Dom, we recorded this last Thursday. He committed. I don't know what you knew, but you didn't tell me anything. You said obviously down Virginia and UNC. In my mind, I thought it was leaning Virginia. It just kind of felt that way. What happened? What did you know? Like, why do you think, was he on the fence? Like, what happened in the last 2 or 3 weeks to make his decision?
I think he was 100% on the fence up until he mentioned in the Q&A and then also at the actual announcement that he went to chapel, and the message there was about, you know, follow where God wants to lead you. And for whatever reason, North Carolina kept on popping up and down his mind. And that's when his decision was made. I believe all that to be the case. I think that
God told him to be a Tar Heel.
I'm going to leave that alone. I think that him and his, I think he only probably told his mom and his grandmother, maybe his high school coach, and that was it. And because of that, which was unbelievable that they kept that quiet up until really that day, there was no information leaking out. And what that creates is kind of like this, someone like, well, I think it's this. And then that kind of morphs into this whole, like, this is, he's leaning toward Virginia. And then the whole birthday thing with the coach, which turns out was a pure coincidence, just kind of really kind of threw gasoline on that Virginia fire, And I think
mean like thinking it was Virginia?
Yeah. So I think as far as the fans and the followers of this recruitment are concerned, people were like, okay, this feels like Virginia because of the relationships thing. He has mentioned in the past how he wasn't able to connect with Cheryl's and all that. And then once it was found out that was the offensive line coach's birthday, that just kind of just threw gasoline on the fire. So everyone's like, all right, this can't be a coincidence. This has to be UVA. And I think there wasn't any, like, he was on the fence the day before and then just switched to UNC that day. I think it was, that day was when he finally started to kind of tell some other people, and then it slowly started to kind of trickle out. But it didn't trickle out to the point to where everybody knew, like all the fans knew, like in a typical recruitment. I was able to make a projection that morning for North Carolina.
Oh, and you didn't tell me.
Well, not all right. I said that. I mean, I guess I'll call it a projection. But no, I mean. Still, even at that point, I mean, even when someone says, hey, is UNC or whatever, you're still kind of like, there's still a lot of doubt in your mind.
Yeah.
And at that point, I didn't have all the facts that I have now. So, you're still kind of like, okay, what, is this like, what's the deal sort of thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, kudos to him for, because usually it leaks out. I mean, Travis Shaw stuff, I feel like, leaked out weeks beforehand. You know, a lot of stuff leaks out real early, or the recruit is not big enough where it doesn't really matter. And kind of, all right, he's going here for sure because he has the opportunity. Like, you know, it's either this place or nothing. So kudos to Zach Rice's family for keeping that locked up. Yeah, it's huge. I mean, let's just go through just to people who, you know, new listeners. Zach Rice, 6'6", 282, probably a little bit heavier now. Goes to Liberty Christian Academy in Lynchburg, Virginia. The number 9 overall prospect in the 2022 class. The number 1 offensive tackle. It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy seeing a 1 by that as the number 1 offensive tackle. And the number 1 player in Virginia. I mean, UNC, I'm not sure they've landed an offensive lineman ranked this high. I think that player from Indiana, I forget his name. He's in the NFL still. Hurst would be the next closest offensive lineman, who was also 5-star, but no one in the top 10 like this. So a massive recruitment. You just hope it kind of he develops well enough where he becomes a, you know, a 3-4 year starter type situation, and can hold down that. Is he left tackle for sure, you think? Is that kind of where you expect him to play?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's for sure. If I would have to project him, I would say right tackle. But I mean, I could see him being a guard, or I could see him being a left tackle also.
Okay, because he's very athletic.
Yeah, he's athletic, but he's also kind of a mauler sort of guy. So I mean, he really could do a lot on the offensive line.
For sure. Why is there any other reason why I picked UNC? I mean, he's the tight connection with the coach.
I really think. That putting aside his moment in Chapel, it came down to is what we said for a long time. If he was going to value relationships more, then it was going to be UVA. If he was going to value NFL development more, then it was going to be North Carolina. And he feels like North Carolina has a better chance of developing him to become an NFL offensive lineman, which is his goal. And I think that was ultimately what kind of tipped it over for North Carolina.
Yeah. It's always, I mean, it's hard. You're picking between great options, especially with Virginia academically and beautiful place and close to home, and Carolina close to home as well and beautiful. And so, yeah. And then you picked UNC over Notre Dame, over Alabama, over Ohio State. So, I mean, it's crazy seeing. It's
and a lot
crazy.
Of that was proximity.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy getting Travis Shaw. That was a mass recruitment, and getting Zach Rice. I mean, has UNC ever had 2 5-stars ever committed?
I think there was one. I think, well, a lot of this depends on the ranking you look at, but I think that one class where it had, I feel like it was the 2007 class, maybe. We'll have to look.
Okay, we'll get back to you on that. All right, cool. Anything else on Zach Rice? We close this chapter. I mean, it moves UNC's class number 9 in the nation. Reads Don's scoop, UNC is likely to finish top 15, which is kind of where they've been since Mac returned, at least the last 2 seasons. So the top, very strong at the top of this class with Shaw, Rice, Petaway, Sebastian Cheeks, and then if they land Andre Green, it's a very top-heavy class, I feel, for the Tar Heels.
Yes. The only I will also add is that Deion Glover, who has been a 3-time guest on this podcast, was involved in this. And you got to think that him kind of being in Zach's ear definitely helped North Carolina's chances.
And I'll say this also for, you know, UNC season has not turned out the way anybody's expected, the way the coaching staff, recruits, the team, media have expected. They're 4-3. You know, I expect UNC to be 6-1, 7-0 heading to Notre Dame. That was what I was looking forward to, a top 10 matchup in South Bend between a really good Notre Dame team and a top 10 UNC team. That's not the case. UNC's unranked and probably won't be ranked again this season. So credit to the staff for selling whatever they're selling to get these guys to, you know, but no decommitments. They're still landing top recruits. They've landed Petaway, I think, since the season started. I think Petaway was during the season, I think. Amari Hampton was right before the season. Zach Rice and Travis Shaw kind of during that season or right before the season. So they are staying the course with whatever message they're getting out of selling future, of selling playing time, of of the opportunity and the future of this program. They're doing a great job of that message and fighting off any negative recruiting that comes with bad seasons. And I mean, for some micro cases, you know, I think Virginia's not having a great season either, and Clemson's not having a great season either. But we always hear that the actual result on the field and the current season or the current game doesn't have an effect. It's more of a general sense. The comfort of the recruits with the staff and the direction of the program. And if you look at recruiting, the direction of the program of UNC is going upwards still, despite kind of a setback this season.
Yeah, and this goes back to what I've been saying for a long time. While everyone says, oh, UNC has won this many games to get this recruit. And really, it just the current season does not affect the current class. Now, will it have an impact on the 2023 class? Yeah, there's going to be more of an impact. But for this class, all these guys have already established in their minds what UNC is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if UNC has it had a negative impact, yeah, I mean, it hasn't helped, but it's not to the point where it's impacting these recruitments, because UNC obviously landed Zach Rice, landed it over Alabama, which is doing well, and Notre Dame, which is doing well, and Ohio State, which is doing well, is still a major player for Andre Green, competing against Georgia, which might be the best team or might have one of the best teams in recent memory. So the whole in-season wins, losses thing just doesn't matter. It's more really about perception. And yes, influence, yes, wins and losses influence perception for sure. But you can kind of play around with perception and spin things in positive light to kind of help your case in a lot of these instances, because these kids aren't they don't watch as much college football as we do.
Yeah, they don't have a man tower.
Well, I mean, you'd be surprised when I'm talking to kids and what they'll say, and they'll ask me, oh, did, you know, who won yesterday, you know, and who won last week, or yeah, because they're kids, they're not glued to their screens. They're not like us, where we used to wake up in the morning watching SportsCenter. It's just different. But
yeah, perception is a great word. I think Mac is the master politician. He's the master communicator. He knows how to sell the program, and he knows how to guide the conversation. And he's a smooth operator. And you're seeing that in recruiting. You know, Mr. February in terms of recruiting, or Mr. December now. So, but the hope among fans is that translates on the field. But he knows how to control a message, certainly, and he's a talker and a communicator, and you're seeing the effects of that. I mean, I think if you get a mom and dad in the room with him, that's why he's so good to recruit. And he's really good in person at convincing these kids and selling the program. And I think mothers look at him as kind of a grandfather figure, and he's respected, and he has the championship ring, and all those things combined. It's hard to kind of turn him down when he really comes in and keys in on a recruit.
Yes, I agree with all that. And I think that's a big part of that too.
All right, Don, do you know what kind of season it is now? It's late October. What season is it?
Chilly season.
It is chilly season both ways, not just food, but also temperature. It is chilly. It's cold. It is sweatshirt season. And here on The Scoop and Inside Carolina, we're big sweatshirt guys. Head over to Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com to pick up your UNC T-shirts. They got everything, and sweatshirts, they got everything you need, jerseys, hats, T-shirts, sweatshirts, jackets. I've actually shopped there a couple times this season to get some stuff. So Johnny T-Shirt right on Franklin Street, but also online at JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Remember, all Inside Carolina subscribers get 10% off with the promo code found on the message board. If you want to read Don's scoop, if you want to read Sherelle's basketball scoop, if you want the X and O's videos from Jason Staples, the post-game scoop from Greg, all the inside the message boards that are always hot. Subscribe Inside Carolina, get 10% off Giant T-shirt, and you can get discount off all your order. We're also getting into Christmas season, not to bring religion into it, but we got get your Christmas gifts, start shopping early. UNC stuff in the stocking underneath the tree, great for all UNC fans. Johnny T-shirt and GiantT-shirt.com, of course. Blue Shark Vodka, the premier North Carolina vodka based in Wilmington and Wrightsville. Our boy Connor Barth has partnered with them. They partnered with us to create this smooth Smooth vodka in the world pairs well with a lot of different things. Refreshing, light, crisp, a great combo for your game day, your home tailgating, all that good stuff. Blue Shark Vodka, check them out online and on Instagram. We appreciate them for sponsoring us and sponsoring the Inside Carolina Post Game Live. Some programming notes in Notre Dame and South Bend. So Gregory Hall is hosting the Inside Carolina Post Game Live show with Jason Staples. So we got two new people hosting the show. Yeah, Sean got a previous engagement, so we're bringing in the B team. All due respect to host the. Yeah, you can say anything if you say all due respect. You can say anything you want in the world, and that's you can take that to the bank. All right, guys, a couple national ads. We come back. We're going to talk about Andre Green and UNC football recruiting.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into the Scoop. Welcome back to the Scoop. Presented to you by Johnny T-Shirt and Blue Shark Vodka. All right, Don. Andre Green's the second player we want to talk about. What's going on with him and UNC? There's some developments, official visits being set. What can you tell our listeners about Andre Green, the four-star wide receiver out of Richmond, I believe.
First, I have an answer to your question.
Okay.
The 2007 class had 2 5-stars, Marvin Austin and Dwight Jones. A lot of that depends on what ranking you're going off of, because some rankings did not have Dwight Jones as a 5-star, but according to the 247 Sports composite, both are 5-stars. Anyway, Andre Green. So as people know,
my friend Andre Green.
Your friend Andre Green and his dad is a big, what we call the Scoop podcast listener. Listens to, I don't know if he listens to every single one, but he has listened to multiple Scoop podcasts. Friend of the show. We need to have him on at some point. I've talked to him about that. You know, it's always harder when guys are their kids aren't committed yet. But yeah, we'll see what we could do.
Maybe we'll have him on after.
Yeah.
If he commits.
Anyway, so just for background, he took 3 official visits in June: North Carolina, Georgia, Oregon. He also took like a overnight visit to Clemson in June. In July, he returned to both UNC and Georgia, and then also visited Penn State and LSU. Came out of the summer with a top 6 or a final 6 of North Carolina, Oregon, LSU, Clemson, Georgia, I'm missing one.
Clemson, Georgia, North Carolina, Penn State, LSU, Oregon. Penn State.
Yeah, that's 6. Yep.
Yeah. There you go, guys.
So he attended the Georgia Clemson game in Charlotte, returned to North Carolina for
Duke game.
Duke game, very good, because you were there and you saw him.
I met him.
You met him. You conversed with him, or as some people would say, conversated with him. That's not a word, by the way. So now, as it stands, he's kind of sort of, you kind of get the feeling that this is down to 3 or 4 schools: North Carolina, Clemson, Georgia, and Penn State's kind of been there a little bit. Georgia and Penn State obviously want to get him back on campus. Clemson wants to get their official visit, which it looks like it's locked in and going to happen for the weekend of November 12th.
UNC plays on Thursday that week against Pitt.
Okay.
Just for background.
So Clemson's playing UConn, big time opponent that weekend. And shortly after that, definitely by the end of November, he plans on making a decision. Now, Georgia is trying to get in there and get an unofficial visit. Fortunately for Andre, if he does want to take this visit, he has a Monday off from school. I think it's the week prior of the Clemson official visit to where he might take a overnight visit back to Georgia. Both of these, the Clemson visit and the Georgia visit, aren't what North Carolina wants to hear, because obviously, as it stands right now, UNC has, I guess, the last at bat, but that could quickly be taken away, or it definitely looks like it's going to be taken away. So, so it's interesting. What did you get a feel from him on where he's kind of, where his head's at when you spoke with him?
No, I mean, I don't even know how many words I said to him. We just kind of met, talked to Coach Glover, talked to his dad. But, you know, UNC is the closest school there, right? It seems like it's coming down to Clemson, Georgia, UNC. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So I think Penn State's a little bit in there, but, you know, but yeah.
And it's, I mean, he's been to UNC in June, July, and then again in September. So we'll see. I mean, it's that same school that UNC is competing with now. It's Georgia, it's Clemson, you know, occasionally like a Virginia Tech or Virginia, but those are the schools that UNC is going against with these top 100, top 200 type players. We'll see. So when do you, there's not a date set for an announcement?
He has not set a date, but it's going to be before December. They want it done before December. What's interesting, if we kind of lay it out, and I'm sure I'm forgetting one, Jalen Walker was a UNC Clemson Georgia battle that went Georgia's way, even though everyone thought he was going to Clemson.
Why did he go to Georgia, you think?
the pixie dust. Actually, I think there was a little bit more with that. But Dalen Everett, another one that came down basically those three. He chose Clemson. Travis Shaw came down essentially to those three, chose North Carolina. I don't think I'm forgetting one, but maybe I'm talking about just this class. So this will be the fourth. All three have a win in this three-way triangle match. You know, it's going to be interesting to see who I guess gets the
choosing. There's another cornerback too. I guess the guy at South Carolina, but he was always kind of close.
Yeah. I mean, he lives like in the backyard of Clemson, and that was always his dream. So I don't count that too much.
Gotcha.
And Georgia wasn't really involved in that. I'm talking about true Georgia, North Carolina, Clemson battles.
That's wild. All right. Well, all eyes on Andre Green now. Anything else on UNC's recruiting front for the 2022 class that we need to know and you can tell us? Because they have 15 commitments now. Green would be a 16. And Mac Brown said on Monday that with the three transfers, Choffrey Brown, Clyde Pender, and Josh Henderson, they have more scholarships, and they will look to increase their take in the 2022 class.
Did he say that? I thought I heard it.
Yeah, I mean, he said they will. They're not going to go out and take someone just to take someone, but they will look at their needs and. To transcribe the quote. Yeah, he said that's definitely in play. So maybe one more than they expected out of the.
So. We covered all of this in the weekly scoop that's posted every Tuesday. So I would urge everyone to check that out. UNC is considering taking maybe not just Andre Green, maybe another wide receiver. I think the Choffrey Brown departure probably affects the numbers more than the other two. Mostly because I think Choffrey was a guy that, and you would know better than me. I mean, I'll ask you, I mean, was heading into the season, did they view Choffrey as a guy who was in their future for the next couple of seasons being a guy?
Oh, he was going to be supposed to be a starter this year. Supposed to be the deep threat starter for UNC. And he only had one catch in six, seven games. So now they got to look. I mean, I think they'll probably look at the portal, try to get a deep threat, you know, proven speedster who can, you know, make some plays because they need that. Because I don't think they have that on the roster right now. Now, Andre Green could help that. Maybe some guys that are freshmen could help that. But those guys still have to develop. So maybe go get a junior or senior who could immediately be a deep threat and be a starter.
Yeah, so I don't think the other two were guys who were – they could have worked their way into being in the future. But I think that they were guys who are just kind of in their respective position rooms at the moment. But besides potentially, you know, looking a little bit more into receivers in the high school ranks, you know, DB has always been this, I guess, bugaboo for this class, trying to fill out those that objective. So they're still messing with some guys there. And I mean, you know, that's really, really it for right now. I mean, there's always, it's recruiting, so things can change. But, you know, the weekly scoop definitely kind of breaks it all down for you.
Are you like scared to say names, especially the wide receiver in state? Like at some point we have to talk about them. I mean, we're running out of guys to talk about.
I mean, I don't, you know, the only thing that scares me is my mom and my wife.
At some point we have to bring up these players. I mean, I guess they haven't offered that wide receiver
yet. Yeah, I just don't, I mean, I think right now, you know, there's not really much to talk about.
I mean, Andre Green show for the next 4 months.
I know. And I was actually having this conversation with his dad, and I kind of explained to him the predicament I'm in, to where basically every week people are going to expect an update. And I'm like, nothing changes. And he's like, yeah. He's like, you know, Andre's life is so crazy structured because he goes to a very academically challenging school. So, you know, homework is not 15 minutes. It's probably a few hours. You know, he has his high school workouts, and then he works out. If he has extra time, he works out on his own. I mean, so you're talking about his entire day is just packed, and then he has to sneak in time to talk to coaches. There's really not a whole lot for anything to happen with him, especially now that we know, you know, maybe the Georgia visit, which isn't until November, and the Clemson visit, which isn't until November, not much is going to change within the next couple of weeks. And, you know,
is he from Richmond?
I believe so. I haven't asked.
Does he go to boarding school or is it just a private school?
It is not. It's just a private school, I believe.
Okay. So he like lives with his parents in Richmond.
Yeah, I believe gotcha. So. Cool. I'll have to double check.
I saw that field in the highlights we posted on Instagram. It was like right in a neighborhood or something. It's kind of cool.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Did
I don't know.
Did you notice that? I mean, you sent me the highlights.
Yeah. I mean, I watched the highlights, but I was focusing on other things. By the way, what do you think of those highlights? They're pretty nasty.
Yeah. He's pretty good. He's good. He's athletic. He has good.
Unbelievable ball skills.
Yeah. There's a reason why Clemson, Georgia, UNC won him. All right, yeah. Let's move on. We kind of talked a little about – I'm going to do one more thing. We're going to look at this class real quick. So pull the class, Don, 2022 class.
Pulling up the class.
Now, I saw that you – and Max said today that 9 players are going to be early enrollees. Is Travis Shaw not an early enrollee?
Not according to my – information, but I'm actually going to see Travis today.
For some reason I assumed that he was going to be a
I always keep track of this stuff when I'm talking to recruits. I don't have him down as an early enrollee, and when I was talking to some sources, they kind of backed my information up, but I mean these things are subject to change, or you know.
And of the class right here, who do you think has the most impact next season?
You know, so I actually got asked this on the Ask Don thread. And so here's a caveat I think we have to give, because I think that with every class, everyone assumes that all of these freshmen are going to play right away. And if you just look back through history, that's just not the case. In my opinion, there were two true freshmen who are seeing significant defensive and offensive reps. I ignore special teams, you know, I just ignore special teams. Javari Ritchie is one of them. Playing a lot in the rotation. The other one, pre-injury, Caleb Hood, and I really believe that had he not gotten injured, he would be playing a bunch still. But obviously now with him, I think he's at 4 games that he's played. You know, UNC has to make the call, or Mack Brown has to make the call on, okay, do we play him? Do we wait for him to get 100%? Do we want to burn his redshirt year when he's not able to play, you know, the entire season and all that? But forgetting that, he would be playing a bunch more this season. So those are the only two. Yeah, Power Eccles has played a bunch, most of his special teams. Same thing with Ra-Ra, most of that special teams. Most of these guys have only gotten in garbage time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so to answer your question, I mean, I think it's hard to keep Travis Shaw off the field. You know, he obviously does need to, you know, work on his conditioning, especially since, you know, he played his first high school game of this season this past Friday. So it would be interesting to see where his conditioning is at. We've talked about how he probably needs to trim down a little bit, but he's a massive dude with just unbelievable quickness and plays with a lot of tenacity. And I think you want to get him on the field for nothing else, just to kind of see what he has against that level of competition. The other guys I would throw at you are the two running backs, George Pettaway, who I absolutely love. We talked about ad nauseum. And Amarian Hampton, and a few reasons. One, opportunity. You know, if you look at the running back situation. What's his name?
Ty Chandler.
Yeah, he'll graduate after the season. He's the one receiving most of the reps. You know, DJ Jones is playing some, but nobody seems to like be, you know, have like a firm grasp. So I think it's still wide open for running back. So the potential is there. Also, running back is probably one of the easier positions to transition from high school to college. So that helps.
See hole, hit hole.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's just instincts and you either have them or don't. Obviously, as someone brought up, you want George Pettaway to kind of put on some weight. I think he'll do that. He's enrolling early. He's enrolling in January. You know, the strength and conditioning staff will get a hold of him, you know, what is that, 6 months before preseason practice or so? Mm-hmm. So those are the three I think have the best chance.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Pettaway. I think they need a running back, and I think Pettaway enrolling in January will help that. All right, let's see if there's anything else I had to ask about this class. Do you agree it's kind of top-heavy? Is that kind of how you see it? Because it's not – I don't think it's as deep as last season's. And maybe even the season before, or the class before, 2020 and 21. Do you believe it? Do you think it's kind of top-heavy where it's like
four or five
really good players?
No, I mean, there's a lot of guys I like. I mean, obviously, if you ignore the top guys like Travis Shaw and Zach Rice and everything like that, I mean, even looking down at guys who aren't highly, highly ranked, I think Bo Atkinson, is watching his film the other day, is absolute stud. Deuce Caldwell, I think, is super underrated. I think even though he's a four-star, Tyon Holloway, I think, is going to be unbelievable at North Carolina. I'm a big fan of Bryson Jennings. There's a lot of guys I like on here. You know, Justin Canuck, you know, watch his film. I think it would not surprise me if he ends up being a multi-year starter for North Carolina. He plays in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, really was hurt by the lack of exposure. You know, Connor Harrell is having a great season at quarterback for one of the top programs in the nation. I mean, there's a lot of potential for a lot of these guys to stand out. So I wouldn't say top heavy. I would say it's a top to bottom, a really good class, to be honest.
There you go. A little pushback from Don Callahan there on my take. All right, let's get into the team, Don. 4-3, bye week. I mean, I think first, let's do transfer portal talk. Yeah, Chauncey Brown, you had Clyde Pender, and you had Josh Henderson enter the transfer portal in a span of about 5 or 6 days. You covered their recruitments. What are your thoughts on those players deciding to leave? Obviously, it's because of they were not high in the depth chart. They were not playing a lot. They were not starting, and that's max reasonings for why they want to leave, and it makes sense. Your take, you go player by player. Like Clyde Pender, I liked his tape, and I think we were both pretty high on Clyde Pender coming in, but he couldn't see a field. I mean, this is sophomore year. Like, sometimes you need a little time to develop. So your thoughts. Let's just start with the order they went in. So Chauncey Brown. You know that family very well, I imagine, right? Two recruitments?
Yeah, for the most part. You know, the story always with Chauncey and Diami, you know, even when they were at West Mech High School, was that Chauncey had all of like was if you were like Chauncey was faster, Chauncey could jump higher, Chauncey this and that, Chauncey had, but Diami always seemed like he was the better football player, you know. Yeah. Like, even though technically Chauncey is faster, you look at I think this is what UNC really misses this season is Sam, when he would throw the deep ball, somehow with that long stride, Diami would just get underneath of it. And he does not have a receiver on roster right now who can just get underneath of it.
There's nothing. There's no players that are making deep. I mean, Antonio Green had one.
Yeah.
Antoine Green had one big deep throw. I mean, it's just not there.
Diami would do it like every game, a couple of times every game.
He would catch bombs.
Yeah.
He was strong and he would fight for balls. I mean, he had some drops earlier on, but, you know, I mean, by far the better player. And I don't know. I don't like comparing the two. Yeah. As a brother, you don't ever want to be compared to your brother. I think you kind of talk about him without comparing him. You know, it just didn't ever happen for him. The drops this year, the mental thing. And I think he's needing a fresh start because he made some bad drops this year.
Well, because as you mentioned, Mac did mention that these guys weren't seeing the field as much. I don't think that was, I think his situation was a little different because. Yeah. You know, he was getting opportunities. He just wasn't doing all he could with those opportunities. What do you think happened? Because there was that one game, I guess it was it the Miami game where he didn't
play in Miami.
Yes.
He didn't play against Miami. So yeah, he got either benched or he took himself out and was like, I'm transferring already.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mess around anymore or taking my spot. So I don't know what happened there. But Dowell came after the drop against Florida State where he almost had, I mean, he was wide open and had a touchdown. He was going to kind of a slant route and dropped it. So he had one catch. I mean, this is a guy you would expect to be right behind Josh Downs in catches this year. Mm-hmm. Talking about a guy who can make 3 or 4 or 5 catches a game, a couple touchdowns, and wasn't there. So, yeah, I think you're right. It was just a fresh start mentally. Good for him to get outside of his brother's shadow.
Yeah.
Probably good, too.
Yeah. Okay. And so it would not surprise me for him to go someplace and get a fresh start and get his playing career on track.
Yeah, I think he'll in demand.
I thought immediately of was Louisville. Gunnar Brewer.
Yeah. That makes sense. Shout out Gunnar Brewer. All right. And then Clyde Pender, who you cover his recruitment, wild signing day. I teased this on Twitter. I teased the Twitter story or the story about his signing day on Twitter. Your thoughts on him and his recruitment and what happened with him at UNC?
Yeah, so I just felt like, and besides what happened on signing day, he was always great to deal with.
Okay.
He always answers his phone and all that. But and even on signing day, he answered his phone and he just lied to me.
That was wild. I mean, you want to tell a story?
Yeah, I don't mind telling a story. I forget a lot of it. I have the awful memory. He was the only one who didn't send in his letter of intent.
Like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock,
yeah,
4 o'clock, and we were waiting, and I was waiting in KFC after they had already done Mac Brown's press conference. So we were waiting at Keenan Football Center, and they had signed everybody but him, and he was still delaying to put his pen to paper. And Tim Brewster was his recruiting coordinator. And I'll say this, it's a couple of years past. I think Bruce was like, you better sign now, or like, you're not even coming, or something. Like, he was still maybe thinking about going to Florida. And they put the heater on him to get him to sign.
Yeah, so I don't know that side of things. I just know that I reached out to him. He answered. I think his coach might have told me that he came in late, even though, because he had finals or something. But anyway, so Pender eventually answered the phone and he said, hey, yeah, I haven't signed yet, but I'm going to do it this afternoon. And so I reached out to a source who said, hey, here, this is what I'm hearing. This is what he told me. And the source was like, that kid's lying to you. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I have his letter of intent right now in my hands. And I was like, okay. Are you lying to me? And, this person hasn't lied to me. But anyway, so they said for whatever reason, Pender wanted to announce it at a certain time. There are details I'm sure that I am just completely foggy on, but that's what I recall was that, I mean, the kid supposedly, and I believe the source supposedly had already sent it in. I think he sent it in late. I think he sent it in late, though.
Yeah.
But so I think that your story is probably correct. And then he probably sent it in, but then probably wouldn't make a big spectacle about it. And I remember it was like a 4:30 sort of thing where he was going
video.
To,
I think he did a video at his house or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think he wanted to do something like that. But yeah, it was really weird. Overall, though, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I just never felt like he fit in that on that roster. You know what I mean? Because he's like isn't he like a South Florida kid or something?
He's a Florida kid, yeah.
Yeah, I know he's a Florida kid, but there are certain areas where it just kind of feels a certain way.
What's that mean?
and really, I mean, Florida, other Dante Belfour, North Carolina recruited, but I mean, he's like north in the middle of nowhere, Florida.
He's from Clapton's from Sefner, Florida.
And that is that South Florida? Clearwater?
Armwood High School. I have no idea. I've not heard of Sefner, Florida in my life.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember where.
Yeah, it's bad radio. But I mean, I think
Tampa. Okay, place. So he's outside of Tampa.
Yeah, North Carolina is a certain place, a certain type of school, and not everybody's a fit. And Florida's pretty far away, so I can see the desire to kind of want to move. There's plenty of good schools in Florida. USF, yeah. UCF.
Typically,
any South Florida schools.
Typically, guys who transfer out of a Power 5 school end up at a smaller level school. It would not shock me if Pinder ends up, I don't know, maybe not Power 5, but maybe some of those good Group of 5 schools in Florida. I could see that.
Yep. He had the all-time look for his official visit with the turtleneck and the jean jacket. And then Tim Cross had the all-time line when it was describing him as a freshman, called him a rolling ball of butcher knives. You know, 6 foot, big guy, had some great tape.
Do you remember one of his highlights from like a opening or whatever?
No.
And he was destroying kids.
Really?
And
yeah.
He said, right after he did a one-on-one and just completely killed this one kid, he yelled into the camera, if I wanted to play with kids, I would have had them of my own.
Yeah, I've heard you that. Yeah, he's a character. I wish we never got to interview him. He never really saw a field much, but he was part of that depth. And just, there were too many players. I mean, from a football side, they were just, you know, he got passed by, you know, not passed, but you had Christian Varner, Miles Murphy, bringing in Travis Shaw, Javari Ritzy. All those guys were kind of coming ahead of him. And I'm missing one guy. Christian Varner and KJ Hester. Yeah, I think Hester was playing ahead of him too. So, all right, Clyde Pinder. And then Josh Henderson, quickly. But Josh Henderson, special teams guy, didn't play. Played a little bit last year in the bowl game. But just, he wasn't going to pass Ty Chandler, Caleb Hood, and DJ Jones this year. DJ Jones is a sophomore, was playing ahead of him. And then you look who's coming in next year with George Pettaway and Amarion Hampton. Seems like those guys will move past him. And if you want to play football, and it's a good chance to leave now and have, you know, keep 2 or 3 years of eligibility. So Josh Henderson, not a super high-ranked kid, but by all accounts,
well, I think
good.
Wasn't he a four-star?
I don't think so, but I can look.
Maybe it was a high three, or maybe it was a four-star at some point. But yeah,
he was from the previous class too. I think it was the last recruiting class for Fedora.
No, no, he was actually, unless I'm misremembering, he was.
He's 19. You're right.
He committed to Fedora, and Mac Brown kept him on. And one of the ways he kept on was Chad Scott was kept on staff and wasn't relieved or I guess whatever happened with him on staff didn't happen until after Josh Henderson signed. So it was a very difficult situation for him heading into from the very beginning, because even though Mac wanted him, he wasn't Mac's guy. The coach who really wanted him was gone almost immediately, you know. So he's from New Jersey, not an area that North Carolina recruits very much. I don't even know if there's any other New Jersey guys on roster right now. So, it makes a whole lot of sense for him to transfer somewhere else.
Good stuff. All right, little team breakdown there. I don't have much to say about the team. I mean, I haven't played since Miami, so, I mean.
Well, let me ask you that.
4-3. When we get to the schedule that remains is Notre Dame home versus a really good undefeated ranked Wake team. Pitt on the road, which is ranked. And they're really good too. Great quarterback. Wofford, NC State. So that's the schedule that remains. NC State was ranked. They're not ranked anymore after losing to Miami. Go ahead, Donald.
So I'm going to put you on the spot because you like to do this to me. We have 5 games left. What's UNC's record within those 5 games?
Great question. Yeah. All right, they're gonna beat Wofford.
Okay.
And it's probably gonna be 2-3.
Okay. Who do you think the other win is? State?
Yeah, I think they beat State. Now I think 3-2 is kind of what you hope for. I don't think they're going to beat – I mean, of Notre Dame, Wake, and Pitt, you just hope to beat one of those. Wake's really good. Pitt's on the road, and they're really good too. And I mean, Notre Dame on the road too. I mean, those are 3 tough games. Those are the next 3 games. And then it's Wofford. They could go 0-3, and then Wofford and State. And State's on the road as well. So, I mean, 1-4 would be bowl game. That'd be no bowl game. 1-4 would be no bowl game.
I know. Crazy. Considering the expectations heading into the season that were –
five.
The media,
seven.
The evil media put onto this team. Yeah.
How dare we predict them?
What I will say, Pittsburgh to me is the only team that, I mean, UNC could beat any of these teams, but I think Pittsburgh is the one where I'm just like, all right, not good. I think that team's really good. And I think
short week, quarterback.
Going to Pittsburgh. Yeah, the quarterback is playing lights out and he can match Sam Howell, you know, shot for shot, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, I mean, Wake Forest gave up a bunch of points to who was that? Navy?
Army. Respect the troops.
But they also have an offense and a quarterback who can who can keep up with Sam Howell. Notre Dame is just such a weird team. Yeah, I watched that game against Southern Cal over the weekend, and it kind of felt like I don't know. I'm watching it. I'm like, it feels like Notre Dame's losing, but they were up like 17-3. It's such a weird team because they make a lot of dumb mistakes, but they still win. It's weird. So it almost always feels like they're about to lose. So I feel like North Carolina could beat them, and they don't have the offense to match North Carolina.
And they're out. They lost their best defensive player in Kyle Hamilton.
Yes.
And NC State has lost their best linebacker. I forget his name. But also your boy has been out for the season from Orange County.
Yeah. Peyton Wilson. I always view, and not to be cliche, but I always view the NC State game as like you kind of like the rosters you kind of throw out the window sort of thing.
Yeah.
And just kind of watch it and enjoy it.
What's great about the season, it's all set up for UNC to win the league. It was all set up. Clemson's not as good
as
we thought. Notre Dame's definitely not as good as we thought. You know, the best teams right now are Pitt, Wake. The state's pretty good. I mean, the Coastal's pretty weak outside of Pitt.
Really?
Virginia Tech.
If you look at it right now, you know, the two teams who could be playing for the ACC championship, Wake Forest and Pitt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're like, North Carolina's playing them coming up.
There's no passion in those fan bases. I'd love to beat Wake, ruin that season. And Wake fans almost killed me and my family on Twitter.
Well, Wake is such a – I mean, they have a small alumni base, you know, and most of those people don't care about sports too much. So, I don't
– And Pittsburgh's weird. Pittsburgh's, you know, it's one of those big city schools where – football is not as big there because
it's a pro town. Pro city. But I mean, it's actually for being in a pro city, it's actually they have a pretty good fan base.
Yeah,
relatively speaking.
It's a good coach. I mean, good.
No, go ahead.
And they have a good coach, Pat Narduzzi. Is going to be a very stable coach there, just like Wake Forest. See if Dave Clawson doesn't get a bigger job, better job. I'm just happy there. There's a lot of good coaches right now in the ACC that are. Just kind of keeping that consistency. I wonder if Virginia Tech coach Fuente is going to be on the hot seat too. But it's interesting. Definitely weird, interesting year in the ACC. All right, anything else?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, since it's the next game, what's your thoughts on Saturday's game? What do you expect?
I don't know. I don't know anything about this team. This team, UNC's team, like you never know what's going to happen. Like I don't expect them to win, but I would not be surprised. I think UNC has talent. It's got a click.
Yeah.
Maybe the rest will help. They've obviously had more time to go over Notre Dame tape. I don't think Notre Dame's anything special. And UNC has some playmakers, and all it takes is an interception here, a fumble there, defense to kind of play a little bit better. I mean, defense needs to keep playing. It needs to play a lot better than they played against Miami and Florida State. And I think you have a chance with Sam Howell, but I just don't know if the weapons are just Josh Downs and Sam Howell.
Yeah.
I was like, you're leading rusher, I think. Him and Ty Chandler are very, very close. So I don't know. You hope for the best. Season's been weird. But that's it for us. Do we want to tease the top five? Like it's kind of, we forgot about it. and it's like seasonal.
Let's include it now. And then we'll, if we don't get enough, we'll bring it back up in the next podcast.
Okay. So top five is top five Halloween candies, the brand name candies. Give us your top five candies. If you're listening to this point in the podcast, we appreciate that. Send it to Don on email, on IC message, on IC private message, or on Twitter, your top five Halloween candies. We know Halloween is in a couple of days. You might be listening to this even after Halloween, but, you know, candy is always a relevant discussion.
Plus, you're eating it. you're going to be eating it for the next couple of weeks.
Correct. Correct. All right, Don. Good podcast. A little different. Not as newsy, but some good conversation. We hit on Subway. We hit on transfers. We hit on Zach Rice, Andre Green. We close with some good transfer talk and a little UNC schedule talk as UNC heads to Notre Dame. Tar Heels land five-star offensive tackle Zach Rice. They're eyeing Andre Green. That's kind of the news here from the scoop. For Blue Shark Vodka, for Johnny T-Shirt, I'm your host, Ross Martin, Don Callahan. That has been The Scoop.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.